Welcome back, everyone, to Ladies of Leap for August 8th, 2010. This is episode 24, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I am Kim.
And I'm Stephanie.
And today we are going to be discussing StarCraft II, Kane and Lynch 2, Ratchet and Clank, and we even have a new iPhone game recommendation from a listener. And we have a number of other things to talk about as well. But before we get started, hi, Kim. Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys? Hello. Feels like I just talked with you about a week ago.
I got the same feeling.
We're back on schedule now due to our Comic-Con delay. But typically we do this every 2 weeks for those that are new joining us for the first time. But this is a every 2 week podcast where Kim, Stephanie, and I discuss all the latest games that we're playing and some news and a few other things, right?
Yep.
So
a few other things.
So the big game that came out the last time we talked was StarCraft II. We hadn't actually, I know I hadn't had any time to even install it, but we've had a little bit of time since then. I know you guys have been having some headaches installing the game. Because I gave you guys, I went out and bought the game. And I had two beta codes, or not beta codes, but trial codes, which was funny because typically, since we all play WoW, you get the 14-day trial.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, cool, they gave me that too. But it wasn't. It was 7 hours or what? 7 days, whichever came first.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, right. I think something like that.
So,
which is plenty of time for me. Plenty of time for me.
So for those of you not familiar with StarCraft, which honestly this is my first RTS, I'm not sure if it's the same for you guys, but it's a military science fiction real-time strategy game developed by Blizzard, who also makes World of Warcraft and Warcraft and Diablo, and it's the sequel to that, and it's called Wings of Liberty. So yeah, this is kind of an interesting place to go to, especially from, I mean, I'll admit it, I am a noob beyond belief with these types of games.
So am I.
Absolutely.
Totally, totally. The one thing I can say, though, is this is a gorgeous game.
It is.
This is an absolutely beautiful game. And so I'm enjoying that part of it, that it's just beautiful. But other than that, I am stressed out. Oh, you are
with the single player? Are you doing the campaign?
Yes.
And you're stressed
with the campaign.
The campaign, I'm actually really enjoying that.
Yes, I'm really enjoying the campaign.
Okay, I'm enjoying it, but I have to do it in small chunks because there's just too many balls in the air. And, you know, I keep balls in the air for my job every single day. When I come home and I want to play, I want to, like, kill stuff. And I just want to be in a
You don't want to manage your resources.
Exactly.
And you're out of Vespian gas. And
that's what I do every day for my job. I don't want to have to do resources. That in there. So I like when you actually are moving and things are working well.
Yeah, yeah.
But once things start going downhill, oh my God, I'm totally stressed.
There are so many layers to this game. It is amazing to me. So, but let's first talk about your download experience, because I actually purchased mine from Best Buy and I installed it and didn't really have any problems with it. But since I gave both of you the trial codes, you downloaded it from Battle.net, correct?
Right.
So, yes. And I understand that you've had many days of trying to download it.
Yeah, it was.
Well, mine wasn't as bad as Steph's.
Yeah, yeah, I can honestly say it was the worst installation experience I've ever had.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, it was horrendous. Horrendously. I mean, it started out with 6.99 gigs. That's what you have to download.
Wow.
And I think, okay, that'll take like a day, maybe. No, I was on day 3 and I still had less than a gig.
And didn't it keep timing out on you too?
Yes, it would stop at various stages. It would stop at 1 gig. It would stop at 1.69 gigs. It stopped at the 4 gigs. It stopped at 5 gigs. It stopped at 6.02 gigs. And I'm sitting there like tearing my hair out. Like, how many times do I have to restart this download before it actually just lets me play the stupid game? And then when you're done, surprise,
yeah.
You got
more,
yeah. Yeah, more patches,
more patches,
and another patch,
yeah, more patches.
And at that point, seriously, it was at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, if I start, are these 7 hours going to tick away,
oh,
and then
yeah.
I'm done by the time I wake up? What's going to happen? So I forced.
Well, no, it's seven play. Stuff. It's seven play yeah. hours, and
it's,
what?
It's definitely played hours.
Yeah, it's played hours.
So you have to have you guys reached your 7 hours yet?
No, not yet.
No, I'm like I think 4 hours into
right.
it
That's
now.
How
yeah. So.
Now I have played this type of strategy before because my history is that I started with Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3, which are, you know, obviously the WoW version of mm-hmm. this. If you just take the skin off and put in WoW characters, that's essentially the same game.
So, but you liked playing Warcraft, didn't you?
Yes,
I mean,
I went from that to playing Warcraft, right?
Right. So it's the same type of game. It's an RTS, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you like doing those?
I liked the Warcraft ones more than the StarCraft. I was never a StarCraft fan. I was more of a Warcraft because to me the pace was slower, and I liked that. As you've seen, StarCraft is the pace is just insane. I'm just insane.
And
we have a link to a video of okay, so this game is 13 years old, the original StarCraft, mm-hmm. and it's still to this day being played competitively for money.
It's amazing.
It is still tremendously popular, and you know the fact that they're still doing tournaments is, you know, is a credit to how well it was designed. They still have LAN parties playing the original StarCraft,
which you can't do LAN on this
no.
version yet
you cannot.
Because there's like a whole petition to get it set up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Not you can play offline though, which is
nice. I don't have many LAN parties.
No.
Anymore.
Darn.
Back in the day, like 10 years ago, maybe, but not now. I mean, what am I gonna drag it to work? I don't think so. Yeah. So yeah, but the original StarCraft, I mean, is huge. It's so hard to underestimate how popular it is in Korea.
Yeah.
It is just the game. And, you know, there were pictures of the guy who bought his first copy in Singapore literally crying.
Oh.
He was the first person who bought it. He had tears in his eyes before shaking his hand. It's like, well, okay then. And I'm sitting there going, should I buy it? I don't know.
But exactly.
So, all right then.
Well, but, yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that they stress is something called APM. Which is actions per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch professionals play this game, and I will call them professionals, if you watch them play, it is insane and it will blow your mind because they're doing 200 and 300 actions.
Oh my God. It's intimidating, isn't it?
Yes, it's very intimidating.
So that's why we get our butts like handed
exactly
to
right.
us when we're playing against
I
other
do
people.
Not, I do not go. So let's explain that there's a single player campaign with StarCraft II that beautiful. It's beautiful. I love the cutscenes.
I love all the little
kind of Easter eggs, like when you get to the ship, there's an arcade that's playing the Viking game. Oh, I'm blanking on the name of the game itself. Lost Vikings. Or Lost Viking. So you can play that inside the game. It's like a dream within a dream. I really am enjoying that single player. And within that too, I don't know if you saw on the bottom, I guess it's the bottom corner when you go into the main single player menu, there's challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Those challenges I have found have helped me a lot because they teach you about like the little cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
Their weakness is the little cars that shoot fire. So
right.
they kind of match you up with the enemies that you're fighting and then the vehicles and the types of things that you're building. And I really enjoyed the challenges, and it was definitely challenges because you have to get through three levels of three fights. And you have to make sure that you allocate your resources and the right resources to beat each one of these groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that valuable as a noob going into this. But I think what intimidates me most is the multiplayer going online with strangers.
Strangers, yes.
And Mark went into, I guess they have, you have 50 games that you can play that don't actually, it's like practice. It's not reflecting towards your final score to where you get ranked. Right. And it frustrated him so much because there are actually people in there that are very experienced, griefing noobs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I've only played multiplayer with the AI. And so, like, Mark and I will go in and I'll set up a game against the AI or against my friends. So Scott, Hakito, myself, and Mark all played against each other and we were mixing each other up. And that even doing that stresses me out.
Yes.
I'm like flipping off my screen.
Yes. Throwing things at your computer.
Like, this is not a good relaxation game for me at all.
It's not at all.
And I was playing late at night, and I'm not kidding you, it wired me so much. It is a it is a total thinking, like, you have to get involved in, like, how many resources you have versus your front barracks, and I mean, it's just so much. And if you don't know hotkeys,
and see, that's what Ralph was telling me, that he had actually set up his hotkeys, and the experience was much, much better for him. So I thought, okay, you know, I should go set up the hotkeys and try it that way. So I am going to try that and see if that helps any, because I'm totally stressed with it right now.
I found a great article. I don't know if you saw the StarCraft 2 freaks. They gave a nice blog post about the hotkey list, and it literally just breaks it down, like, which is really nice to, since I don't know, it just, that's the stuff that I need to know. Cause what were you going to say? I'm sorry, Ken.
this game is one that, my husband plays. So, you know, he's Mr. Non-gamer. He does not play games, but he saw me playing it. Well, he played Warcraft too.
Oh, okay.
So, he saw this and he downloaded it last night. Overnight, and I saw him once all day today. He's been upstairs since,
so he's like loving
9 o'clock this morning, and I've seen him come down once, which is amazing. So I don't have a husband any longer. He's just gone. I'm like, cool, now I can play, you know, my games without him giving me any looks.
Well, yeah, Mark, when I was traveling last week, he pretty much played StarCraft 2 the entire time I was gone. And of course, you know, I get home and I install it and he womps me. I'm like,
I gotta tell you, one of the things that I do like about it, that they've held over from the previous versions and from Warcraft 2 and 3, is the map editor. The fact that you can make your own map, share it with your friends, and then play together is really cool. Because I was one of those people that made them in Warcraft 3, and just imagine, like, you're playing in like a wooded area, right? So at like Goldshire, that's essentially what it gave you, and you had mines for money, and the wood was how you built buildings, right? So I built the worst maps where I would literally have starting points completely surrounded by trees, and you would have to dig your way out to get to the gold. And that's one of my favorite things, is making creative maps.
Yeah,
you know, like putting little surprises here and there, and then letting people play them. And I like doing that. I like the map part. So
yeah, I've only played the ones that Blizzard provides. Right. And
yeah, me too.
And they actually have a lot of the old ones apparently in there as well. So they've brought the maps from StarCraft, the first one, into StarCraft 2, which is kind of neat.
Right.
But I've never played those maps, but I'm sure people have played them over and over and over again. Like my friend John Funk, he's like, "Oh, this is from StarCraft 1." I'm like, "Okay, let's play it." I don't know. It's interesting to go out of my comfort zone with a game that I probably would have never even attempted to play. And here's the interesting thing. I find myself enjoying, like I said, I find myself really enjoying the single player campaign a lot. And the multiplayer, I really I will not. I already know. I won't go in PvP with strangers. Because yeah. they can type to you. They can taunt you. And I'm just not into that. I have a hard enough time with PvP in Warcraft.
I totally hear you.
That it amps me up so much that it takes me forever, especially if I'm playing late enough. It takes me forever to go to bed.
Right.
Like, I was up till 3 a.m. one night because I was just so wired with this game.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Which of you guys think that Jim Raynor looks like the dude from Red Dead Redemption?
Oh, yes, totally.
It's the same guy.
Really? And what's with all the southern accents? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, there are.
In the rear with the beard. Accent. Southern.
Those little SRVs. Every time you click on them, they say the weirdest things.
Yeah. Oh, can I say the medic kind of irritates me a little?
Yes, I was just gonna say that. I'm like, shut up, bitch.
Exactly.
God, you're annoying.
Have you played Ghost yet? Have you had him in your arsenal? Ghost?
No,
guys
not
that
yet.
Can cloak.
I have not bought him yet.
When you do, you'll recognize the voice. It's Liam.
Ah, all right.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I'm like, I would have him in my group all the time. He's like, ghost ready.
Is that the only one that he does?
As far as I know, I don't know. That's the one I recognize. So,
cool.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I enjoy this game. I'm surprised by how much I am enjoying the single player. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I bought it. Definitely a lot of replay to it.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at all the... What level are you playing it on, casual?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And there's a lot of... I like that they put the achievements right there for you. Mm-hmm. So you can see, oh, if I do it here, I can get that achievement. And that kind of drives you to want to go and do it in normal mode or, you know, bump up your game a little bit, which is really cool.
And it's nice that you can replay the maps.
Yeah.
And you can just, okay, well, I got this one down pat. Let me give it a try at a harder level.
But the cutscenes on this, amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, of course, Blizzard always does the good cutscenes and good cinematics. But I was amazed at the cutscenes. And the music on the jukebox.
Yeah.
I sat there for like 20 minutes just going through the music and listening to it. It was so cool. I loved it.
It was very cool.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the game. And I've seen this from a lot of people that say they don't play RTSs, that they're pleasantly surprised, and they really a lot. There's even who was it? Somebody in the forum said that they're not an RTS person. This is their first one, but this is by far one of their top five favorite games now. So,
yeah, this is a great game. But I tell you what, when Diablo 3 comes out. No, I will not be playing StarCraft.
I'm not even sure that I am going to be buying this game at all. Yeah. So
it stresses you out too much. You know,
it does, and
time management on steroids.
It is, and that's what I was thinking. You guys really love those time management games, and I hate those time management games.
Could you think of Sally Spa?
You're seeing just your camp.
Yeah.
No idea what the other guy's doing until all of a sudden you look up and he has
an arsenal of battleships that swoop down and just demolish. Like, I just spent 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's that's the point where I flip off my computer.
Exactly.
I'm like,
right.
Oh, dang you.
And then they're taunting you and you're like, okay, I've had enough.
Oh, well, and then I have my husband coming down here. He is watching me. He's like, do this. Go send out scouts. Do this. Put some people over here and so you can guard this part. And then you need to get those guys on the gas and you need to get those guys on the crystals. And, go ahead and build this. And then you need to get more medics because the medics die and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, shut up. Oh, my God. Just shut up. I'm glad he's upstairs now.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, there's probably a lot of gamers that are very experienced with StarCraft that are listening to us going, oh my God, they're such noobs. Exactly. Yeah. But this is the type of game is so, it's so multi-layered and so many things to it. If I will just say this, if I didn't do a podcast on it, I wouldn't probably even attempt to play this game because it was just a little too intimidating and a little bit too much because it's almost like it's a club. You know,
yes.
And you,
it's been out there for so long, and people have been playing it and perfecting their game for so long. Now they've got, you know, the second version, which is much prettier and new strategies, but they've still got the backbone strategies going for them. So they know exactly how to win. And we're sitting there going, look at that. Isn't that cool? Oh, I'm dead.
Exactly.
We're like, what? I'll go back to the single player. Okay. See you later.
Yeah.
That's me.
I do love watching the little guys run around and kill stuff. I like the maps and, you know, how it all runs around. That is really cool. I like that. And I just wish it started a little slower.
I thought you could adjust the speed of the each game. I know you can do that on multiplayer. So you can say slow, medium, fast, faster.
Oh, so, can you?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that, so maybe there is. And I think just because I need to get used to it.
Yes. There's so much to look at.
Yeah.
And you feel kind of rushed with that trial time. You're like, oh my God, I gotta start doing this. Mm-hmm. My time's running out.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I'm like, okay, I gotta try as much as I can.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Well, we actually did have an email from a listener that they're in the same boat as we are. Mm-hmm. And this is from Padawani. And he says, what's up, ladies? Padawani here with another question. I'm a huge fan of RTS like Red Agent, Age of Empires, and Warcraft 3, but I've never played them competitively online. So I recently bought StarCraft 2 because I figured I'd give it a try. Love the campaign, but the online ranking matches is a different story. Mm-hmm. I've had some friends help me out with learning how to wall in and try and Zerg people, but I'm winning maybe one out of every three or four 1v1s, and the ones I do win are against new people who have never played the game. So as video...
He's winning against us.
I love what he says here next, because we've already disclaimed what we know about this game. So as video game experts, as people call you...
I don't think anyone has ever called us that. Well,
I will say Scott has pumped me up, I think, a little bit more than I'm comfortable with. I was wondering if you girls have had any advice on improving my online skills in StarCraft 2. I will say this, there are a ton of websites, and I've been, like I said, the hotkeys article from StarCraft, really it's StarCraft 2, number 2, freaks.com. I've been frequenting their blog. There's a nice kind of noobs, StarCraft noob tips for better play experience, and that's from RPG-exploiters.com. There's just a ton, and I think, Steph, you found a video, and the tips I hear are, you know, when you go through and you play, and if you win or lose, watch the replay.
Yes.
Because you can save that and kind of see what your opponent did that caused you to lose.
Right. Because, I mean, usually it's what we were describing before, is you're taking your time building something, and you're still in the middle of building, you know, your strategy when the other opponent comes in and just wipes you out. And if you didn't know what they were doing, you're never going to learn. So if you can go back and rewatch from their perspective and just kind of watch it and see, like, oh, they didn't do what I did. They did this and this and this and this, and then they sent their guys out. And, yeah, so... They went on the offensive and left nothing for defense.
It also takes practice. Oh, I mean, it just takes a lot of practice. You're not going to come into this off the bat and win in the multiplayer. It takes people, like you were saying, they've had this game for years.
Yes.
And one of the guys we were watching when they were doing that, what is it?
The APM.
APM. He's like, you know, they're like, how do you, you know, get to that point? And he said, practice. And that's what they do. You know, they just go and they do it over and over and over. And they go back and they learn from what they did and what their opponents did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and those guys that play competitively make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year playing these games, not just, you know, a couple $100.
Yeah.
This is their job. This is what they do.
Amazing.
And it's really, really amazing to watch them play.
So I'm going to say definitely I'm enjoying the game. It's a buy it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly. I really didn't know how I was going to feel about the game, but I'm enjoying it and having fun with it. And I just, because it's such a different game compared to all the other games that I've played.
Yes.
I'm finding I have to give myself different rules for it. Like I said, it will keep me up till 3 a.m. if I play it too late.
Right.
Not many games, I don't think. Well, there was the Singularity. Yeah.
Wait.
And there was Assassin's Creed 2. I'm talking like I'm not playing it anymore and I can't fall asleep. Because
not that it's staying up late.
No.
wait. I know of a lot of games you do. How many tweets have we gotten at 3 o'clock in the morning? You know, oh my god, this game's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's me. Like, I've already stopped playing at midnight, and I'm still up at like 3 a.m. because I'm so
your brain is right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Twitching.
Yeah, see, and I don't want to play those kind of games. When I play to relax and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And, even when you're in a raid that's really high stress, it's a different kind of stress than RTSs.
Right.
It's completely
that's
different.
A lot of waiting, and then a little bit of stress. And then waiting while you reset.
This is stress. Okay, take a break and listen to the jukebox. Stress. Yeah. It's like those stupid time management games you guys play.
But I look at this game as a challenge. Like there's so many challenges to this that mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. To me, it's almost like a logic puzzle or, time management where I need to figure out what is the strategy. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm digging the game. So.
Well, that's really cool, though. That's probably what they want you to do. That's how they get you hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I gotta say, like you mentioned earlier, the challenges really help guide you. Like those of us that aren't used to this game, they really help you into learning the correct method mm-hmm. methodology. You know, like they're like, okay, look, this is effective against this, and this is effective against that. And, these are the things that you're going to learn, and we're just going to show you. We're going to hold your hand and show you.
By the way, the little roaches are not called little roaches. They're zerglings, I think. That's just, Hokuto always plays the zerg. And so I'm like, get your little roaches away from me.
Oh, you're going to get an email on that now.
You noobs.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. I liked it. What Stephanie, did you end up buying the game, or are you just going to play the trial for a while?
I'm going to play the trial out, and then I'll probably wait till it goes on sale, and I'll buy it because I'm interested in playing the single player to completion. So
yeah, it is a $60 game.
I mean, right. So I'll wait till it goes on sale, and then I'll snap out.
And Kim, so Randy bought it.
Randy bought it, and my son Cody bought it. So we've got two copies in the house if I wanted to go play it, but nice. I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah,
right.
No.
Oh, cool. Well, all right,
except I may get the collector's edition so I can get the stupid little Thor pet for a while.
I know, right?
I may go do that.
Well, Terpster put up the video of what it looks like, and I have the BlizzCon Murloc.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's true, they do look a lot alike.
Well, there's a lot of similarities, so I'm like, yeah. I'm not gonna buy it.
The best combination is if you can find someone who has the Zergling pet,
mm-hmm.
is to bring out your Murloc.
Oh yeah,
let's go and them fight each other.
I love that.
And I was lucky enough to find somebody who had a Zergling, and we just kept doing it over and over and over again. And sometimes the Zergling would win, and sometimes the Marine would win, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and we always tried to figure out what was the system of how they determined who win. Or
yeah,
won.
I think it was just which one saw the other one first.
I think so.
So Iceworm in the chat room brought up one of the guys that you can build, which is Thor. Have you seen Thor yet?
I've seen him, but not
or heard him. That's really what I want to bring up. Is it's Arnold?
Oh dear lord!
Every time I make a Thor, and I just hear Arnold. It's pretty awesome. I like the voice acting that there's a lot of playfulness.
Yes.
To each of them.
The voice acting is really good in this. All of them are. And the girl who does one of the voices.
Medic.
Yeah. Oh, the medic girl does the voice of the AI on Mass Effect 2. I was I've heard that voice before. Nice. that's the AI. Eva or something like that in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Very cool. Yeah,
it's weird to recognize all these voices. You know, you play too many video games when you can recognize the voice work between the games.
Yep. All right. So, in addition to StarCraft II, I ended up downloading and playing the demo for Kane and Lynch, which is titled Dog Days. I didn't play the first one. Are you guys familiar with this game?
No, it looks like very redneck. I'm sorry to say, it looks.
Well, yeah.
What is it?
It is a third-person shooter type game. So you're playing as Lynch, and you're. I don't know if you're in where you are in Japan, maybe. But anyway, they throw you into the demo, and you're playing, and you're shooting, and what. I will just say about this game, I won't be buying this game, by the way.
No.
It made me dizzy and a little bit queasy.
Ew.
Because of the camera angles. And apparently, as mm-hmm. you're playing the main character, he gets a little bit more out of it, and it affects your camera. So you're playing through his eyes, and I didn't like the mechanics of the gun player, but you can download it and see for yourself right now. You can play through mm-hmm. a level on single player, and you can play through the multiplayer as well, which I thought was interesting that they're doing multiplayer through the demo. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
But again, I wasn't.
I've seen all the advertisements, and it does.
They
not
are promoting it big interest. Time. They are definitely promoting it big time, and they're saying that it's giving a fresh perspective to intensity and realism, and which just kind of makes me nauseous in some cases. Because there were times I was playing, I wasn't happy with the point of view, and yeah. So I played that. It's out on PSN right now, and let's see, it was released on PSN on July 21st and Xbox Live on July 26th, so you can download the demo. Oh, and you can also download it on Steam as well. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to. But again, if you if you played the first one and you enjoyed that one, it follows the same, it follows the previous storyline for it. So,
okay.
They're bad guys, and they're going for, I don't know, money. I didn't really get the plot of the story very well. It was a demo, well, you know?
That kind of sucks when you're like, oh, what the hell is this game about?
Well, I mean, it's obvious. It's a cops and robbers kind of thing, you know, and these two are not great guys, and you're playing through, and you're going against the mob of the city that you're in. And I can't remember the city. So I wasn't happy with the gameplay, and some people might love that kind of realism in how you're playing from Lich's point of view. And I thought it was third person. It might just be first person. I can't remember. Either way, for me, I won't be purchasing it.
No.
But I did finish Singularity, which was the rest of the email that we got, which somehow is no longer there anymore.
Says, also, have any of you girls tried Singularity? After hearing the review from PC Gamer podcast, I figured I'd give it a shot and was extremely surprised at what a good job Activision has done. Just wanted to know if you guys are going to try this game and or what you think of it if you have tried it. Sincerely, longtime listener, Padwani.
You might be behind, because on episode 22, we talked all about it.
Indeed. Yes. So now that you finished it, what do you think?
So yeah, I finished it, and
which ending did you pick?
I played all three of them. You can actually back. You can go back.
Oh, yes, you can go back
very easily and play all three endings. Yes.
Nice.
And I wasn't satisfied with any of them.
Oh, yeah. Bummer.
Well, I mean, in none of them do the Americans win.
Yeah. I was like, really, that's kind of bummed me out. But I really enjoyed the game, like the whole gameplay. And like I said before, when we talked about it, I thought it was a great, solid game. Great first person shooter. Had a lot
I loved the weapons.
Yeah, loved it. I like all the
little.
I'm
definitely going to go and finish it. I was gone this whole past week, so I didn't get to play hardly any games. But I want to go play.
Did you find the reference to Lost?
To Lost.
You know the TV series Lost?
Uh-huh.
There's an achievement. So towards the end of the game, there you go into this one area, and I can't remember what you get. You might be just upgrading your device, the mm-hmm. TMD, but there's a grate on the other side. And if you shoot it, you can actually go through it. And you go through it, and there's the wheel from Lost.
Oh, dear Lord.
And I saw that achievement, and it wasn't really clear what it was. It's so cool. So it's kind of tucked away, but once you find it, you get the achievement. And you're
interesting.
Like, yeah, I thought it was kind of neat. Little hat tip to, yep. I guess they're fans of Lost. So I thought that was kind of neat.
I like Easter eggs in video
I
games.
Do too.
That's cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Yep. So did you guys play anything else? Or just kind of StarCraft 2 and WoW took up your time this week?
Yeah.
That's all I played. I know that we'll get down to our news section. I did play some stuff on my Kindle, so we'll get down to that. But
oh, I forgot. I played Ratchet and Clank, A Crack in Time, finally.
Oh, how did you like it?
I'm loving it. We had a listener, I can't remember who it was now, recommend it. And I finally got it in my Gamefly queue, and I popped it in today. And I've played Ratchet and Clank before, and again, it's a platform and you're collecting. I'm done collecting with Lego, those stupid studs. And in this game, you're collecting little gears. But I'm enjoying it. There's some cheekiness to it. In fact, I'm thinking the guy that is accompanying Ratchet, he reminds me a little bit of Deathspank. But the problem I've had with the Ratchet and Clank games before, it gets so repetitive, I never finish them. So I'm curious to see if this is going to keep me occupied.
Well, this one, it's been a while since I played that one, so I can't remember. But there were differences in this one, this last one, but I can't remember. I thought it was more fluid, or there were some differences, but I can't remember because it's been so long since I played it.
And I
liked this one better than other ones because
it had
a little bit of differences. Yeah, I played this. I've got this one. But it's been months since I played it.
Yeah, it was one of the games that I missed amongst all the other awesome games.
I've always thought it was like a kid's game. That's why I never... put much interest in it. Is it not a kid's game?
It's kind of a kid would
it's a teenager. I would say it's not a kid's game like Legos could be. I think it's one step above. It's more a teen game.
And I think there's some kind
it's
of
could play though.
There's some cheeky humor in it too.
Yeah.
And I have to say I'm probably gonna, when we're done recording, probably play it some more. I was having fun with it.
I like them. They're fun games. They really are. But I think they get like the Lego where they are, they've got that formula. And they changed this last one just enough that it made it a little more interesting, but not enough that it was like, oh, my God.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It's for me, I'm glad I rented it. It's a good rental.
Right. Good rental.
Yeah.
I can buy that.
Yeah. So... That's what I'm playing right now, and that's probably what I'll continue to play. So let's see. Oh, so I also moved our bargain buys and iPhone games up to the top because it was announced that Kindle can now support games. So Kim, are you playing them?
And actually, Kindle's been able to support games for a while now. This isn't brand new.
They've just expanded it
because I've got Sudoku on my Kindle as well.
Okay.
But these two games, what are they called here?
Scrabble, a version of Scrabble, which is called Shuffled Row.
Yeah. Shuffled Row and Word.
Every word.
Every word. Every
similar
word,
to Boggle.
Yeah, and they're a lot of fun, and it works really well on the Kindle. At first, I was like, oh, my God, seriously? Games on the Kindle? But the controls are very fluid and very easy to use. And then the keyboard, I like the keyboard on the Kindle. A lot of people don't. But it works really well, and you can just type it in as word games, it works really well. I'm not sure other games how well they would work, but these are good games, and it's nice to have it on your Kindle, because when you go outside in the bright sunlight, like I was out on a cruise ship, and you know, you can take your Kindle into the sunlight and see it perfectly, whereas your iPad or your iPhone or even your DS, PSP, they're very hard to see in the sunlight. So it was a nice format for that. Also on the plane, you know, just playing that stuff on the plane, and the battery life on the Kindle is, you know, you can go weeks on the battery. So it works out really nice for those kind of situations.
Was Sudoku free? Because these are both free.
No, it was like 99 cents.
Oh, so Sudoku was, they actually charge, but these two you can actually download for free. That's nice.
I think these are actually from Amazon, aren't they? The other ones were third party.
Gotcha.
So I think these two are free, which is awesome. And they're great. They're great games. I would highly suggest go getting them if you have a Kindle and you like word type games. You know, they're jumble words type things, and they're a lot of fun, and it works really well on this platform.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like they're adding value to the Kindle versus saying, "Oh, you need to buy this in addition to."
Right.
Let's make the Kindle as appealing as possible by adding some free games to it.
And, you know, the only thing with the Kindle that I absolutely love, there's two things. One is that the battery life lasts so long. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you can use it in the sunlight. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is huge for me. Even for reading, most of the time, sorry about that. I read on my iPad, on the Kindle app on my iPad, but outside, and I spend a lot of time outside, I read on my Kindle. So it's a great, I love the Kindle for that, and I won't get rid of it.
Cool. Very cool. Well, the game that I cannot believe I did not know about this game, it's called, and I know some of you listening are like, I can't believe you don't know about it either. Machinerarium, right? Are you guys familiar with this game?
Negative. No.
Okay. So I first heard about it through Scott. He was playing the soundtrack, and I thought the soundtrack was really cool. And then a friend of mine had tweeted about it, that he loves this little robot game, and it's a series of puzzles and brain teasers. And this has been out since 2009, October of 2009. And it's on sale right now. So it's normally $20, and you can actually get it for $5. You can also play it on the website itself. I think there's like three boards that you can play for free to try it out. And it's such a cool game. And if you like puzzle games, it's very stylized. I love it. The music is really awesome. It's very, critically acclaimed. So it's a puzzle point and click adventure game. And like I said, you can actually go to their website and purchase it for $5. I highly recommend it. I love it. So,
cool.
Both of you, I think you would like it too. Kim especially, you like puzzle games, so you would love this.
Cool.
I cannot believe I missed this. That happens. And it's funny.
What platform is it for?
So you can. It's on the PC, the Mac. And I think it's also on Linux. Yeah, Linux. So Windows, Mac, and Linux.
So not for the iPhone or the
iPad?
No.
Not that I could see. But there's, I think, 30 boards to it. And you first start out, and you're in a junkyard, and you're putting this little robot, who, by the way, is so cute. You put him together. And you have to find his arms, and you have to find his legs, and... and then they have these little mini games up in the corner. So if you need a hint, you're this little key, and it's almost like a horizontal Space Invaders, where you're going through and you're shooting this key and you're killing all the little spiders, and you have to get through to put the key in the lock, and then it tells you about the board and tells you what you need to do. So if you're really stuck, I can imagine there's probably going to be some boards that are really, really challenging and gets harder and harder as you go forward. Those hints are really nice. It's called a two-tier hint system. So cool. I'm really, really enjoying it. And since it was on sale, I thought this would be perfect to kind of let people know in case they missed it as well, because it's a fun little game.
It says the $5 sale price lasts until the 12th of August.
Oh, so better get it soon.
Jump on it.
Wow, it looks like a really pretty game, too.
It does.
I downloaded all the wallpaper. I'm putting those on my computer, too. So.
Oh, yeah, that's really nice. I really like it. Yeah. It looks kind of like a WALL-E type thing.
Yeah, a little bit, huh? Well, I thought of, as I was playing it, the robot reminded me of, did you watch the movie Robots?
Uh-huh.
That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Ah, cool. Kind
of, so it's a world of robots run by robots, and you're a robot.
Oh, that looks like so much fun. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get that. Definitely going to get that.
So we'll put a link in the, if you're not, you could probably just Google it and find it, but I'll put a link in the show notes as well for those of you that are interested in this game. Let's see. Kim, you have a suggestion. We have a listener suggestion for an iPhone game.
Yes. One of our good friends, Cece, wrote us, and her cousin made this iPhone game, and it's a fun little game called Arachnophilia, I think is how you say it. You play as a spider building a web that catches bugs. So you start out with a small web, and these bugs are flying through it. And once you catch one, you go and eat the bug to gain health back. And then the bugs can come and damage you, and you have to eat the bugs that you catch to gain health back. And it's a fun little game to just, you know, pick up your iPad or your iPhone mm-hmm. while you're sitting there getting your oil changed and play. It's very quick. It's fun. It's just tap. So you tap the screen just to make your spider move. It's pretty simple little game. It's $2.99, and it's a good little time waster. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. I have to check that out. Cool. And then, Stephanie, you have one, too.
Yes, I have one. It's called, it is for the iPhone and the iPad, but right now it's just for the iPad. It's called Highborn HD, and it is a turn-based game, but it has a lot of humor. There's no spoken voice actors. It's just what you're reading. But the idea is that you are this paladin called Archie, and you are
Archie
is his name. And your quest to
Archie the paladin
to get rid of this arch lich. He's obviously a warlock who's invaded town, and so you have to. What happens is you go off with your party. You know, you start with archers mm-hmm. and footmen. And you go to, you move each unit its own space, and then you attack each opponent unit, and then you take over buildings and you know whatnot. And it's the humor in it is really funny. Like the first story is you're going against an opponent who is a Minotaur, and as you're taking over his towns, he's yelling out. He's like, I can't believe you people let him take my town. He goes, but I have, today is take your kids to work day. And then he's talking about his kids, his little kids. He's like, you know, calling the little kids like something Taurus and something like that. And then when we actually finally get to fight him, the kids actually come running to, and they like run you over, and they go, oh, isn't that cute? They're taking after their dad. You know, it's very funny.
I love games with humor.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is, you know, like you'll put your archers against their footmen mm-hmm. and it cuts to a real quick polygon type fight scene where, you know, you'll see your archer shoot and then you'll see them run at you. And then it's more like Risk type play where, you know, like if you had 10 and they had 10, maybe they'll lose 3 and you'll lose 2. And then that's, you know, that you work with what's left, and then you take over the towns and you keep moving. And they have a lot of hidden stuff, and there's runes that you can take over and then get extra powers, like a lightning can come down and take your opponents out and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun.
So it's $2.99 for its initial right release, so you think it's going to go up?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll have to get that before the price goes up then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
It is. It teaches you strategy, but it's at your own pace. You know, like you move, they move. You move, they move. It's, you know, however quickly you want it to go, that's how fast it'll go. So I like it.
That's cool. So I also was messing around on PSN today and noticed that they're having a pretty big sale. And there's a lot of games for sale right now for download. But the one that caught my eye, of course, was Fat Princess. It's half off. Mm. So if you if you're interested in and you haven't ever purchased Fat Princess, you can get it for, I think it's $7.49 right now.
Nice.
So it is on sale. And I have a feeling I'm going to have to buy it because I still haven't gotten my licensing thing figured out.
Oh, you have to redo
you're
it.
Oh, you're kidding.
So,
oh, that sucks. Oh, yeah. That's not cool at all. No.
Agreed.
Oh, well. So at least I can get it for half off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, oh, go ahead.
Did you try to contact PlayStation, the store, or anything?
No.
Because really what I was wondering is how their customer service is. Because I've never had a problem, so I've never had to deal with their customer service, and I've never heard anything good or bad about it.
Yeah, maybe I should look into how I would go about doing that. the funny thing is, have you ever used the PlayStation Home, is it? Have you ever set up your little avatar in that? Do you even know what I'm
talking about? I set it up, but I thought that's gone now. I thought
Because it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. In fact, they were.
I don't know why it's still there.
In the little
right.
In the little announcements, it was kind of highlighting PlayStation Home. So I was like, oh, I'll give it a try, and it had a big update to it. And I went in there and I created my tune. Felt very Second Life meets Sims meets Waste of My Time.
Yeah, all I did was I created my avatar and I didn't do anything else with it. I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever.
There's like little games that in there, but really where they're trying to get you are all the little micro payments.
Yeah.
So if you want to wear a different shirt, it's 99¢. Or if you, I mean, they have like this whole shopping thing in there as well. So, yeah.
I don't think I'll be doing that.
I was curious about it, so I went ahead and set it up just to see what it was.
So did you get new shoes, new purse?
No. No, I just put her in a black shirt and jeans.
All right.
All right. So let's move on to our internet news. And this story was interesting to me because it revolved around science, helping science. And playing games. And we've talked about this in the past with the game system. Of course, I'm blanking on the name. That was more about Evoke. Evoke. Remember Evoke?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Evoke was a
social
game.
Experimentations.
Mm-hmm. So this game, and this is from New York Times, was created to help science. And of course, there it is. It was called the game itself. Let's see. Protein folding. So tackling the complexity of protein folding. And the game was called Fold It.
Mm-hmm.
And
Fold It or Folding?
Fold It.
Fold It.
Fold It.
F-O-L-D-I-T.
Right.
Yes.
So they announced this game in May of 2008. And University of Washington made a protein folding video game called Fold It freely available. And so the game, which allows competitive and offered puzzle-saving qualities like Rubik's Cube, has thousands of players. And apparently they're releasing a report and they're going to list the players as contributors to this.
I like that.
Isn't this kind of... I thought it was just kind of a neat. So... You can play it. You can actually go to the website and it's fold.it/portal and you can download the game either on Windows, Mac, or Linux and do some folding of jeans, I guess. Well, I don't know.
I like this is what the basics of it says. It says the protein folding can be done by computers.
Right.
But it takes a massive amount of processing for the computers to do it. So they said, look, we're going to offer it up and let actual people do the work.
Do the work for
us. And it turns out they did it 10 times better than the computers could do it.
That's crazy. As
when they turned it into a game. That's so really how fantastic is that?
Impressive, huh?
There's a really cool video on YouTube as well. I'll put it in the show notes that shows you how to do it or the concepts behind it. And it's really cool because it also teaches you about biology and about what all these pieces are and why you have to fold it certain ways and how you can compress it. And, you know, so your goal is to get the highest score against all these other people. It looked like a lot of fun. I haven't played it, but I know people who have.
Oh, really? And so they'll be in the credits for their research paper.
That is pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of SETI at home. Did you guys ever do that?
Yes, I did do SETI.
I mean, you didn't actually do anything with that except for let it use the the idle processing time on your computer, but it kind of reminds me of that kind of, you know,
crowdsourcing
I guess it is.
So,
but I like here's the two quotes that I like. It said, it's like trying to solve a million sided Rubik's cube while it spins at 10,000 RPM. That's just one fold. But they said that the reason people were so much better than this is humans use a much more varied range of exploration methods than computers. And you got to figure that's true because computers only do what you tell them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you put a bunch of people in front of a problem, they're going to tackle it different ways to get to the same end result based on their own personal experiences and their own thought processes. So I like that they're thinking outside the box rather than the SETI, which just said, look, I've got a set path from point A to point B. Can I use your computer to run it? They said, look, here's our problem. Take another stab at it and see if you can do it a little better than the computer can do it. And I think that's an interesting alternative.
Very cool. So,
way to use computers and people.
So go play Fold It for free and contribute to science.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's very cool.
Okay. So, Kim, you have a story. We had a couple listeners actually tell us about this story, right?
We did. We had Tracy and Gary both send us the story, and it's about Activision pulling. They haven't had any female lead characters in 5 years, and then the one that they did that was coming as it, they pulled it and made it into a guy. I guess True Crime series was going to have a female lead, and they pulled it. And so that's really what the story is about, is them having no female leads or female heroes at Activision. But what I really thought was interesting is the thousands of responses underneath to this article. Yeah. Right. And I went through and I read almost all of these. Some of them, I would say, you know, at least 60% of them are troll type people. But I am just shocked at some of these comments. I mean, there are comments in here that says, well, of course, you know, females are inferior. So why would I want them to be a lead? It's probably a troll, but there was more than one, you know, there were several of those. And I was just like, wow. And there were there were a lot of good points and good discussion, but it just amazed me, some of the comments on here. So I would go out and read it and read the comics. I mean the comics, not the comics.
Well, it's interesting because the same kind of theory, they have that in Hollywood of sorts. And do you know the new movie Salt was supposed to be a man?
No, I'm sure.
And they gave it to Angela. They actually converted the role for Angelina Jolie.
Right.
I don't know if the movie's doing that well, though. I better go see it. Come on, ladies.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. It looks good. Everyone says there's a lot of action in it, so.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But one of the comments that I picked up from that was, you know, this person said, well, of course, the company is just going with what works.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, no, that's just BS. You know, if you're just going to go, all you're doing, and a lot of the text of the story was that the reason that they're sticking with male protagonists instead of females is that they put a lot of heavy, heavy influence on group feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'll show something to a bunch of people and they'll get their opinion and then they'll say, oh, see, look, they didn't like it. So let's not do that. But what you get from the article is that people actually involved in the programming said, look, I sat in on that exact same focus group. They came out with a positive opinion, but the report that went to Activision was the complete opposite. Mm. So they're skewing it to fit what they want what it they to want. Be, which is girls, no. Guys, yes. So that's what they're coming out with, is that they're kind of stuck in this rut of they're just going to keep on making them males. And the game that they were going to do was going to have a Lucy Liu type female protagonist. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, from she's would be perfect because, you know, look at the Kill Bill movie and, mm-hmm. you know, she did a couple other action movies besides Charlie's Angels. So she'd be great as that. I mean, why not? You know, mm-hmm. but they turned around and said, look at all the ones that are top sellers. They don't have female leads. Let's just go with a guy.
But they did give some examples, like, for instance, Portal. You play a female. Right. And
well, but you, I think like one of the comments says, you don't actually know you're a female except for those rare times you see yourself in mm-hmm. in a reflection. I mean, portals. Honestly, yeah, I don't even realize, I didn't even think about myself as a woman in that game until pretty much near the end. And I was like, oh, I am a woman, huh? I mean, so it's not, I don't feel that that's a very good example.
Mm. But
and
Lara Croft.
Metroid. Well, with Samus, you didn't even know that she was female until, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Metroid, you didn't know. And Lara Croft, of course, I think that's an anomaly mm-hmm. in my eyes. Not that I don't want there to be more female leads, but I think there's such a cookie cutter method right now of some of the games mm-hmm. That you really couldn't make a good female lead out of, you know, one of the World War II games. You know, because they're just, it's not realistic. Mm-hmm. There weren't female women out there on the front lines and things like that.
Right.
So.
But, you know, on this spin, if you give me the chance to play a female character, I'm going to take it every time.
Me too.
Every time. You put that female option in front of me, that's what I'm going for. Yep.
Well, but that's what they're banking on, is that the guys are going to pick the male character. And more guys play video games and females, or that's probably what Activision is thinking.
Exactly, that's their perception, not
exactly.
Yeah. We're just not as vocal,
right? We're just not.
Yeah. Well,
but I mean, I think part of the problem is they haven't struck a good balance between what's a good playable female lead. Is mm-hmm. she going to look like a total? I don't want to swear or anything like that, but. You know, is she just going to be there as a sex object?
Right.
Or is she actually going to be tough and interesting and, you know, can hold her own and, you know, says something intelligent rather than, mm-hmm. you know, make grunting noises as she pulls herself up?
Well, like,
you know,
the just... Gears of War 3, there's a female in that. Uh-huh. And I cannot wait to play that game as that. Yes. As that woman,
female Marine.
In Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, there's a female. I'm like, I'm totally gonna be her.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And when I see there's a female that I can play, I'm probably more apt to purchase that game versus I would still buy the game regardless, but it gets me even more excited that I can play a female role in the game itself.
Absolutely.
Not that I'm saying I have to have a female there to play the game. I'm just saying it gives me nice, warming, fuzzy feelings when I know that I can. Yeah, they're thinking of me too in this. So
exactly.
So there you go. All right. So,
but it's a good. I think it's a good topic to talk about, and it gets people. It gets people talking about it, and it gets It's not just shuffled under the rug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think with more and more women. Gamers feeling confident to say, hey, I actually play these games too. I think you're probably going to see more video games coming out that at least have the option for them to play a woman. So,
right.
You know, the girls, Frag Dolls, for instance.
Frag Dolls.
You know, there's just some great organizations out there that have really helped women become more visible and have a voice in the video game industry. And I think the gaming companies are starting to take notice, which is, I think it's awesome. It can only be a win-win for everyone. Guys get to play with the girls and multiplayer.
That's right.
And they don't have to pay. all right. So speaking of multiplayer, looks like RDR finally came down. Oh no, in 2 days. They'll have
2 days, yes.
Are you excited?
Their first pay download content is going to be released on August 10th. And I am excited, but I know a lot of people are not. This one's called Legends and Killers. And this is the one that introduces the new weapon, which is the Tomahawk, and opens 8 more multiplayer characters and 9 multiplayer maps. Wow. So they're gonna bring in old characters from the Red Dead Revolver. And then they're also going to have expanded multiplayer areas, but not co-op missions. This is not the co-op pack.
I just have to ask, are you 100% on this game yet? Because every time I...
Oh, God, no.
Every time I log into PSN, I see you playing this thing.
Yeah, because I'm so into the co-op. That's what I play, like, almost exclusively now. And it's so hard to find a good co-op team. Like, that...
Yeah,
it's like my quest to find.
I'll play with you.
A group that I can actually play with, please.
Well, I mean, and I heard you restart it for Legendary.
Yeah, so I'm in the second rotation. I'm 40, so I've got the bull. Actually, 41. So I've got the bull back.
You're awesome.
Yes, I know.
So cool.
And I won't show them off because I can't show them to anybody. Because
oh my god. Okay, I will come play with you.
I will play with you too.
Your cool things. And
can I tell you that when this mount is so different from the other ones, when you get off of the bull, and let's say you're picking a flower or something like that, the bull will actually go a small distance away, turn around, face you, and run you over.
Well, no, mine does too. Mine runs me over too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yep.
He puts his little paws down, he starts pawing the ground, and he just wants to run you over. Like,
so it does... Does he get to the point where he doesn't do that? That you're, you know, he gets enough loyalty, or doesn't it?
You can train him.
Yeah, I guess kind of train him. You'd be like, no,
I haven't been able to train him. He doesn't like me very much.
He does what he does. Maybe the buffalo will be better. The buffalo, I can't wait to get that one. That'd be awesome.
Oh wow, that's gonna be cool. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, I can't wait. Awesome. The zebra I'm not so excited about, but the buffaloes I am excited about.
A zebra?
Yeah, so some
in
people,
the Old West?
Oh, I'm sorry, say that again?
A zebra in the Old West.
Yeah, I know, right? A zebra?
Yes, that's like zombies.
You're an eccentric cattleman who likes zebras.
Yeah, apparently.
So what we're getting in this this expansion is they're going to turn places that we know already, they're going to turn them into gang hideouts, like Blackwater. Can't wait for that, because that's, you know, pretty much the only urban setting that there is in the game. They're going to do Tall Trees, which is up in that snowy area.
Mm-hmm. I like that area.
They're going to do the actual town of Escalera, you know, that two-tiered, actually multi-tiered town that has the Mexican army base at the top. They're actually going to turn that whole tiered town into a multiplayer
area.
So, yeah. And then there's a big tower. So, of course, you know, that'll be the one that you want to take out. But the Tomahawk is going to be interesting because, as you know, when you're playing multiplayer, you show up on the map if you're running or if you're shooting. And with the Tomahawk, you do not show up at all.
Oh.
So you could theoretically be stealth the entire time. Exactly.
Sneaky, sneaky.
So that's going to make it very interesting.
And that's $10, right? Roughly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like $9.99 or something like that. Very cool. And you also said found something about Oddworld. I never played Oddworld.
Oddworld's one of my all-time favorites.
Is it? So yeah. They're rebooting this?
Yeah, I've never
this.
Played it either.
It was back in the PS1 and PS2 era, and Abe's Odd World was the first, and then it had two. It was always meant to be like 5 stories, and then somehow the company ran into trouble, and they never got to finish it. So I was always, you know, lamenting the death of this series because it was so cute. It was the main character was Abe, and it was not your typical game at the time because you didn't shoot anybody, but you were against opponents that did shoot. So what happened was you would kind of sit and meditate, and you could take over them,
huh?
And then you you could use them to open doors and get past certain objects, but you wouldn't actually kill them and you wouldn't shoot anything.
You're
and
a pacifist. The main
exactly, you were absolutely a pacifist. And they had little dogs that worked for them too. And then once you took over the opponent, you could tell the dog to do different things. You could tell the dog to go through this pipe and trigger something and then come back, and it was very, very cute. And he could drink soda and fart, and you could control the farts and stuff like that. It was a very, very cute game.
Yeah, I was very aware of this game. I was definitely very aware of this game, but I had just graduated college, I think, when this came out, or had mm-hmm. just gotten my first job out of college, and I just remember missing it, but being aware of it, and that it right. looked really cool. So they're gonna.
Well, the good news is the company is working with a new company. And they're going to be releasing Oddworld for multiple platforms with a new continued storyline. So cool. I can't wait for that. They don't have any hard ETAs or anything, but it's definitely in the works now.
Exciting. So,
I'm glad.
I get to revisit it. And
exactly. It was so, see what so I cute missed. Back in the day.
All right. So before moving on, I also have one last thing, since we're kind of talking about classic video games. Our friend Starman, who does World of Warcast, tweeted the other day some classic video game iPhone wallpapers. And I just thought I would highlight it because there's some really cool stuff. So, like, there's Pitfall, there's Donkey Kong, there's Mario, and it's just...
There's Galaga.
Yeah. Oh,
there's my favorite games.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so 15, 16, 17... wallpapers that you can put on your iPhone. Awesome little nugget of awesome.
Yes.
What am I saying? Awesome nugget of awesome.
Nuggets of awesomeness.
So anyway, I will put a link to Starman's Flickr page, which is where you can get these wallpapers. All right.
They are very cool.
Which
very cool.
Ice Worm in the chat room, and I just read this, apparently Billy Mitchell has regained his new title, his world record of Donkey Kong, speaking of Donkey Kong. So for those of you familiar with the King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, you'll know who mm-hmm. Billy Mitchell is, and he's regained his title. We can all sleep at night now. Yes. All right, so all right, so let's move on to World of Warcraft. The problem I have is I don't have anything to add because I really haven't been playing it. StarCraft 2 has been mm-hmm. taking up my time. And what I wanted to ask from the both of you is that we are in a place of World of Warcraft where it's kind of getting boring for me. I don't know mm-hmm. if you guys feel the same way, but I'm just wondering... I'm trying to keep a little bit of fresh, but I'm kind of getting bored. And I think a lot of players are feeling this because
there definitely are
gearing up for the expansion. But yes.
The same thing happened before Wrath came out.
Yes, absolutely.
Too. Mm-hmm. It was getting, there is a lull. I've been playing a lot just because I have a new tune that I'm bringing up on the Jublathos server. Aww. And I've been doing mostly Battlegrounds. So it's been a whole different, I've never done that before.
Oh, really?
So it's a whole different experience. Yeah. And plus I'm dual boxing now. So I've got something outside of my norm that I'm working on. If I didn't have those two things, I would be totally bored because all I do is I get on the server and I raid and that's all I do on Earthen Ring right now is I raid. Then I go over to the other server, and that's where I have my fun right now is because I'm, on this PvP server, it's completely different. And I'm doing the Battlegrounds to level. So it's a whole different thing, and it's been a fun experience, and it's been a little experiment for me.
Yeah,
and I've had a blast, and there's been a lot of people over there to help me out and stuff like that. So I think that made it fresh for me. If I didn't have that, I don't know if I'd be playing WoW other than just messing around in it.
Because that's what I find that when I log into Earthen Ring, I just go to my normal tunes. I do have a Druid that I've been trying, but because I have those two 80s, I'm like, well, maybe I'll just play on those. So maybe that's what I need to do. I need to start fresh on another server to force myself to like get out of my comfort zone and try different aspects of the game. Because again, like StarCraft 2, there's so many layers to World of Warcraft. And if you only put yourself into one of those, you may not even experience other parts of the game. So.
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly what I've done by going over there. First, I'm playing a paladin, which I've never done. Mm-hmm. I'm playing her as a tank, which I've never done. And I'm in I do battlegrounds. I've got like 7,000 honorable kills and I'm level 70.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, look at you.
You know, so it's a whole
That's
new
awesome.
World. Yeah. So it's been fun.
New world.
Just feel that coming.
you could, huh? Plus, it's kind of cool to be, you know, it's an oceanic server, so it's a different experience. It's a different world over there than the U.S. servers, and it's been fun getting to know the way that they play over there, as mm-hmm. well as. There's just a different feel to it than in the stateside ones. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit odd to go over there and play versus playing in the States.
It sounds like you're changing it up. That's kind of,
yeah.
You know,
and I
cool.
think that's what you need to do with any mm-hmm. game, especially with WoW, because WoW is what, 5 years now. I mean, mm-hmm. I know I've been playing it for about 4.5,
right.
Which could you imagine any other game playing it for 4.5 years?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I'm not playing the beta a whole lot, because mm-hmm. I want to experience that when it comes out. I've been playing it a little bit here mm-hmm. and there. Mm-hmm. I did get to go and see, I finally made it through the quest for the seahorse.
Oh, right.
Which is really cool. Oh,
yes,
my God. So
it's so cute.
Yeah. And hope that wasn't a spoiler for anybody, but you get an undersea mount or an underwater mount.
Oh, okay.
It's an underwater mount, and it's a seahorse. Sorry if I spoiled that for anyone. And it's really cool, and there's a lot of cool things, but I don't want to spoil that coming up either, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind hearing about it and seeing it, and I'm not a spoiler freak, but I don't want to play everything before that time.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Steph, I see that you got to roll a worgen.
Yeah, they finally released them, but the female worgen are still locked, so you can only do one male worgen, like one style.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
I'm really curious to see if they actually give the female worgen boobs.
Yeah.
Because there was a girl that...
Feets.
Feets. Because there was a girl that called into the instance, and I totally agreed with her, because she's like... They don't have boobs. They have
teats.
Animals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So there you go. I guess
This
should be interesting. I'm sure they probably will give him boobs.
The beta is still missing a lot of the backstory that would mm-hmm. make it more interesting to me. Like, I still think the goblin starting area is much more interesting and colorful and fun than the worgen area. But, I mean, literally, when you start a worgen, it just kind of does that flyover of the area, complete silence. Mm. Absolutely nothing to tell you what the backstory is. And I know the backstory is interesting, mm-hmm. and I want to hear it. Nothing there.
Got it.
And then when you actually get bit and turned into a worgen, the guy goes, and this is where we show the video of you turning into a worgen. Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Cut scene, and then you're done. It's like, what? There was actually
nice.
Was
black, awesome.
And then you wake up in a hole. Right, it's what you get when you play a beta.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you get. I mean, oh well. But yeah, so I think once BlizzCon, the excitement of BlizzCon coming.
Oh yeah.
I think we'll get more excited.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to come out right around that time. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I think so too. Sure.
Well, yeah, and also
for November, I think.
Yeah. And you know that they're going to start having cataclysmic type events happening in game. Mm-hmm. You know that they've got to be.
Those are going to be exciting.
Those. Exactly. Yeah. I'm looking forward to those. It's just, I think until probably October, we're going to be in a lull.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now's the time, if you've never thought about it, try rolling a different tune. Try one, a class that you've never played before, and maybe you thought, it might be interesting to do this one.
I have a rogue that I've been.
Yeah. Rogue is the weak point for me. I've never had the desire, even when I was dual boxing, I got my rogue to 35, and then I literally deleted it because I had no desire to play.
That's okay.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. And this is coming from the person who has two priests and two druids, and like, what? And I didn't want to keep a rogue. Okay.
So, speaking of, well, not BlizzCon, but a con, Dragon Con.
Yeah.
We're going to be going to Dragon Con, all three of us, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So I didn't know if we have any plans yet to get, I know we're talking about doing a get together.
Yeah. There's going to be some type of get together, whether it's with our guild, with Frog Pants, with just, getting together with some of the people we're there with. There will be some type of meetup set up. So we'll put that information out once we get it.
Once it's all solidified.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Many of our raid group are going. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Yes. We got Tiny Toot going, me, you, Xanar, Nicole. We have Ralph, better be going.
Chris. Yeah, that's right.
Gristle, Gristle is going.
Oh, Chris is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gristle's going.
Oh, cool.
Is second off
that's
going?
Awesome. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. We've just got to talk Ralph into going now.
That's right. He's got the
peer pressure at its best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were all surprised Tiny is coming all the way from Canada.
Yes.
Really?
And Ralph can't even awesome. Take his little butt down from
Maryland? What, Maryland? Come on.
Ralph, I know you're in the chat room. Shame. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to Dragon Con because I had so much fun at Comic Con that I wanted to last longer. So I got I don't know if you guys got the Dragon Con progress report little booklet in the mail.
Yes, I got that. And I was so excited when I got it.
So we'll be doing some fun stuff. So if you happen to be at Dragon Con or even in the Atlanta area and you want to do the meetup, we'll be putting a blog post on the website as well as on the Facebook fan page. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Scott's gonna probably be doing, if we involve Frog Pants and Sword and Laser and all, we're just gonna try to get everybody together and have
them. Because Veronica Belmont and Tom mm-hmm. Merritt are gonna be there from the Sword and Laser, and of course the Geek Current Geek mm-hmm. and then we've got Brian
Dunaway
from Final Score and Comics Coast to Coast. Yep. I don't think Scott's going, right? He was
probably
thinking
not.
About it. I don't think he's going to go.
We'll just say he is, and then on the day, he won't be there.
Yeah. Scott will be there, or maybe we should just peer pressure him into going. But you know what? Kim said that she wanted to go. So if we can talk Kim into going, we can probably get Scott to go.
That would be nice.
Cool. There's going to be a lot of Frog Pants Studio people there. So that'll be a lot of fun. A
lot of fun.
You got to come meet Brian Dunaway. He is a terrific guy.
Yeah.
Just so, so much fun.
Did you guys, I was actually on the Final Score last week. Was it last week?
I did. Yeah. I heard that. Aww. You did an awesome job.
I just wanted to thank Scott and Brian for having me on. That was so.
You blew them away.
Oh, stop.
Okay, I have to ask. Was it kind of intimidating being on with those two?
Not at all. I give Brian crap online.
Well, that's true. That's true.
He's easy to get crap.
I would be intimidated.
Awesome. Huh?
All right, so let's take a look at the next thing we have on the schedule, which is video game quiz time, which I don't have a quiz this week, but I do have the announcement for the winner that won the DC Universe Online VIP beta code.
Yay!
So before I announce the winner, I will say that the answer to last week's quiz, it actually related to DC, was Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yay.
So that was music from Batman Arkham Asylum. So if you actually got that right and you sent your answer in, there's actually 8 people that got that right. And out of those 8 people, before the show started, I asked the chat room for a random number. And our random pick of those 8 folks is Chris Pullman, I think. I'm sorry if I just butchered last name. But anyway, you have won the VIP beta code, and I will be emailing you to get your address so I can mail you the code and also a Ladies Elite sticker. Which, by the way, loving the Ladies Elite sticker.
Loving them.
Did you guys get them in the mail?
Yes!
Yay.
Love them. Yes, I was very shocked at the quality of these stickers because they're vinyl cool. stickers. They're not paper.
No, they're not
and paper. These are the best stickers in the world. They're so nice.
I don't know about that. I love them. But they're pretty awesome.
They're awesome stickers. No, they're the best in the world. Best.
So Chris, the best. Congratulations. Thank you so much to everyone that entered that contest. The next episode, I will have another quiz and I'll find something cool to give away. So
who won? I'm sorry, I missed that.
That would be Chris.
Chris.
Yep.
Congratulations, yep. Chris.
Chris.
Very cool.
Congrats.
All right. So let's move on to email and voicemail. We have voicemail.
Yay. We have a voicemail this week.
We actually had a few, and I'm only going to play one. And the next show I'll play, I think I have a couple of others. But one I'm having problems with playing because I think it's the wrong format for a Mac. But I'll need to research that a little bit. But we have a voicemail from, is it Hannah Stick?
Mm-hmm.
So for those in the chat room, this is going to play a little soft, but for those listening, they probably won't even notice because I'll edit it. So, here we go. And she has a question about our favorite mounts, I think.
Hello there, Ladies of Leet. This is Hannah Stick, and I'm here answering your call from my voice messages. I don't have an accent, unfortunately, unless you count Canadian, but hopefully this is okay. I absolutely adore your podcast and have actually been listening through all the episodes as I farm Baron Rivendare's mount in Stratholme. I'm had 111 runs so far, kind of going crazy, but listening to you ladies has really made the time fly by, so thank you. I've actually kind of been enjoying myself. My question for you all is, what is your favorite World of Warcraft mount or in-game pet, and have you ever spent a ridiculous amount of time farming for one? Thank you guys so much, and keep up the great podcast. Bye.
Well, thank you so much for that voicemail, Hannah Stick.
Yes.
And she's in the chat room.
She is.
That is so. Yeah, I was actually very glad that a girl called us because that's
we actually have two girls, and the other one is the one I have to figure out why it's not allowing me to play. So we'll play that one next time. Yeah,
next time.
So she wants to know our favorite mount. In game, and in any ridiculous amounts of time to farm a mount. And I know of you have some pretty awesome mounts. So
it's funny because everyone is trying to get that Baron Rivendell mount right now. I know so many people who go and try to get him five times a day or something.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's a very, very unique drop. So everyone's trying to
I know
get
when
it.
You pull out the tiger that you got from Zul. Is it Zuljax?
See, I wasn't even going to bring that up because, you know, Stephanie's, you know, she's got steam coming out of her ears now.
That is the coolest mount.
Yeah, so I did get very lucky and get the ZG tiger drop. And I love that mount. That's the mount that I use all the time.
Yeah,
and I love it.
I see you on it all the time.
Yeah. And I had heard or I saw a post that they're going to be taking that drop out of the game.
Oh, really?
I heard that too.
Yep. So I was actually a little bit excited about that because I'm like, man, that's going to make my mount more unique.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, not that I wouldn't love everyone to have one because they're beautiful, but you know, sometimes you kind of like being unique. So it was, but that's definitely my favorite mount, pet, everything is that. The one I don't have that I still want is the Headless Horseman mount. I would really love to have that, but I don't.
Yeah, I'd love to have the Spectral Tiger, to be honest with you. I just think those are cool.
They are very cool.
$1,000, one can be yours.
I don't want to pay $1,000.
Half on that.
Nor will I. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is really crazy. And I know, who won last year?
Sean.
Did he actually get it?
I don't know. He has said something about it on Twitter, but I don't know if
I thought Cat Hunter helped him out and got that for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I know Scott has one and he shows it off all the time.
Yeah. Well, Scott's got all kinds of stuff that he shows off. You know, throws in your face. Stop it, Scott. Okay.
But I have to say my favorite ground mount is probably my BlizzCon bear that I got.
That
was my first BlizzCon I ever went to. And I just like the little Murloc sitting on its head, and I just think it's cute.
It's cute.
Those are very cute.
I like them. I thought it was funny when I first used it, because I was Alliance, and probably for the first month I would constantly get whispers, "Where did you get that? Where did you get that?" And I'm like, BlizzCon, and then they go, "What's that?" I'm like, "Wait, yeah." Well, a lot of people play the game don't necessarily know that Blizzard is the company that made the game. I mean. Mm. When I first started playing, I just played World of Warcraft. I hadn't really taken the time to know the game history and who the companies are. But that came a little bit later when I really got into it.
If you ever want to treat and you have the time, try playing Warcraft 3. It is that real-time strategy game, but it actually is full of the history of Warcraft.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
How the Horde met the Tauren. And brought them into their side. It's all in the game.
But other than that, there, you know, the pets that you have to, I would love, love, love to have one of those little mini phoenix pets.
Mm. Oh,
I don't have one of those. That is probably the only other pet that I would love to have. And of course, the mount. I mean, the phoenix mount. But that's not even, oh my God, that's ridiculous to even now. To go and get that out of that raid is ridiculous.
What's your favorite, Stephanie?
My favorite mount is the Headless Horseman mount. Yeah. I absolutely adore that one because it is both a ground mount and a flying mount. My favorite pet, I've always like started out thinking I'm going to grind for a rare drop pet, and then I get bored and I can't do this anymore.
When Ralph fished up the turtle, I'm like, I'm going to fish that turtle up too. Right. Two hours into it, I'm like,
you're like, forget it.
Forget it. I couldn't even do that. Yeah. I was like, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that stupid sewer rat. I want that stupid rat. But, you know, I've spent hundreds of hours trying to fish that stupid thing up.
Cece, and I'm like, Cece in the chat room says she just got the Phoenix this week.
Ooh.
Go, girl.
Nice.
God, that is so cool. I'd love to have that one because that one's such a pretty pet, and the mount. God, I'd
love
have
to send us a picture with you on
it.
But I think the most ridiculous amount of time I've ever spent farming is for the Violet Proto Drake. It's a whole for me. It's been over a year now that I've been grinding. Every holiday comes around,
it's going to be worth it. Trust me.
It grind. You know, get through those. So for me, it's been a year and a half of working towards that mount because I missed some holidays last time. I'll finally get it this October is when I'll finally get that thing.
Excellent.
That was such a huge relief when I got that. It really was.
Isn't it
like
though?
A big weight off of your shoulders. You're like, okay, who cares about holidays now?
Yeah, now they're just to be enjoyed at this point. They're just
there.
But that one has the added bonus that if you have the mount like the Sparkle Pony, that one will go 310 once you get the Violet Proto Drake.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
The Violet Proto Drake is 310, and the Sparkle Pony scales to the highest mount that you have. So
awesome,
excellent.
And the rocket is 310.
It's fun,
too, right?
Yeah, that one's.
I haven't had anybody on my rocket yet. Not one person.
No,
I gotta get somebody on my rocket.
Because you're into Wintergrass, and once you've joined the raid, and then people will jump in.
Well, I told Asheo that he would be the first on it, and I never see him on where we're like flying. You know, we're always like in a dungeon or something. So
I'm gonna beat
like,
you to it, Asheo. I see her every Tuesday and Thursday.
Sorry, Nicole.
Sunday.
Break it in for me.
All right. So, Stephanie, you have an email from a listener?
Yes, I do. This one says, "Hi, girls. I'm a fellow gamer, and I love your podcast. About me, I started playing video games on my parents' Atari when I was very little. While always a PC gamer, I've moved through an NES, a Genesis, an N64, PS2, Wii, and now I just picked up a 360. I stopped playing WoW about 3 years ago, but you're making me very interested in picking it back up again. Though I'll need a new computer." True. And yet, Warcraft is one of those games that if you don't mind it, you can scale down, you can play it on almost anything. I mean, it really will scale to that. That's why the
not Cataclysm, though.
Yeah.
Not Cataclysm and not Cataclysm. StarCraft 2.
Not StarCraft 2 either.
Holy smokes. That one is really going to kill your computer. We didn't talk about that, but holy smokes, yeah. You're going to need a really intense computer to run that. Back to the letter. "I just picked up Borderlands for the 360. Yay! And need people to play with if anyone is interested. I'm on Twitter at Trace Elements. Favorite games. Just off the top of my head, Deathspank ruled." Ooh. Yes, it did. Castle Crashers is awesome. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Have to try that out.
Fable 2, and just can't wait for 3. And Mass Effect 2. And Borderlands is moving up the list. Yes, Borderlands is awesome.
Mass Effect 2.
"My boyfriend lives about 2 hours away, and I head down a few times a week. I found your podcast recently and started from the very beginning, even the practice episodes."
I forgot we did that.
"And have loved every minute of it. Thank you for keeping me company." Oh, thank you so much. That was awesome.
Yes, thank you so much.
Tracy. That was from Tracy.
So, awesome.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I have an email from Femme Fatale.
Woo!
And she says, "Hi, ladies. Love the show. How do you feel about cheat codes? Do you use them? What if you get stuck in a game and can go no further? Do you consider game guides or walkthroughs as cheating?" And I think this is perfect for me to talk about this because we talked about a whole episode of me cheating on Red Dead Redemption. And by the way, I just want to say I would have never brought it up if I did not consider myself a cheater on that game. All right.
Yeah, she could have never said anything. Yeah,
we would never have known. So, here's the thing. I'll give my perspective about cheating.
Okay.
When I play through a game, I try my standard is play normal and try to get through as much, but I have a limit to the amount of times I die and it then becomes not fun.
Yeah.
So I have this need to play the game without any kind of guide whatsoever. I don't buy game guides. When I was younger, I did, you know, I have some pretty cool old Nintendo powers and things like that. But for the most part, I typically stay away from them. But I will say that, a game like Wet, you remember us talking about Wet?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to just beat my head into the wall because there was a part that I just got stuck. And I'm not kidding you. I could not figure out what the little trick was. I knew that there was a trick.
Sure.
It just wasn't obvious to me where it was. Right. So while I don't buy the game guides, I do use some of the walkthroughs on YouTube, which there are tons of. There's people out there that just simply play the game all the way through, record the whole thing, and put it up into multi-parts.
Chapters, right.
Mm-hmm. So while I won't watch the whole thing through, if there's a particular point where I just can't, let's say I've died like 20 times, and that's usually, I mean, I give it a good college try, I'll go out there and I'll look for those kind of cheat throughs or whatever you want to call them, walkthroughs. That give me, and I'll watch them. I go, how did I not see that? You know, there were some guys that just dropped down and that was where I need to run up the wall, but there wasn't anything else that was telling me that. But it was just a slight little observation that I quickly missed as I was going through the game. Like a game like StarCraft II, there's so much to that game. I think it's almost a necessity that you read a strategy guide or read a website that's giving you suggestions about the game itself, because the little booklet that comes with the game is nothing. It's yes. absolutely nothing.
Yeah. True.
So,
you know, but I see I think cheat codes are different than yes, the walkthroughs yeah, or the game right. guides. I think we agree different.
That the walkthroughs are not cheating.
Yeah. No. I don't consider that cheating.
I don't either.
I mean, because but I look
still
at
have to do it. You will have to physically do it.
So. And a cheat code I usually think of is unlimited health, unlimited mm-hmm. ammo, mm-hmm. You know, some invincibility or mm-hmm. something. A code that you put into the game that changes the actual mechanic of the game.
And I don't use those.
No. Or, you know, the Red Dead Redemption thing. That was a problem exploit. On their side. Yeah, yeah. It was an exploit. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But the game guides, even look at WoW, you know, there are, I don't think there, I would say 95-99% of the people who go through raids and look at those bosses will go to WoW Heroes or you know, whatever site, MMO mm-hmm. Champion, and watch a video or mm-hmm. read how the strategy guides mm-hmm. for those bosses. And that happens all the time.
And you even sure. have mods that you can add on to a game like yeah. Warcraft sure. where the AVI, remember that one? Where it would say, this is where you need to stand. And eventually, you know, those kinds of mods, Warcraft breaks them or figures out a way to get rid of them. But it's such a gray area.
But the walkthroughs, I do use the walkthroughs on like a lot of the puzzle games, because some of those puzzle games,
if you either just get stuck.
Yeah, if you get stuck to a point and you can't move on, well, of course, I'm going to go look at a walkthrough and see sure. what I need to do, because otherwise the game is useless to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll never finish it.
I want to finish the game.
Yeah, so yeah. I use them, and I use them sparingly, though. You yeah, know, correct. I use them when I have to, right. not to go through the whole game, because then what's the point of playing the game?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, definitely, I appreciate the walkthroughs and the videos that are up on sites.
And can I just say the Brady Games strategy guide for StarCraft II,
mm-hmm.
it's so big.
I'll bet.
Oh, my God. I'm holding it up to the chat room right now. It's just...
Oh, my God.
It's almost 500... It's 430-something pages.
Holy smokes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's huge. Right there.
I mean, but it's. Mark's been reading through it, and it has a lot of great tips. I mean, especially for like multiplayer. Mm-hmm. There's a number of things that I didn't even know that you could do. I mean, and again, learning about this stuff, unless you have a pro to your side that can say, oh, don't forget that. You can actually expand your supply depots with your command center if you've upgraded it to the orbital thing. And
right.
when you upgrade your command center to the orbital, I had no idea there's like a little bot that you can drop down and then gather minerals for you. Did you know about that? I mean, there's just like little things like this that really help you with your resources. But that's the stuff that you can get from the strategy guide, from the websites, right. from all those tip places. But yeah.
As for cheat codes, I will admit to using a cheat code on one game.
Oh yeah.
And that is Sims 3. I give myself money.
So you there's can go kill code. People.
Yeah. There's that. Well, I can kill them. Yeah. I killed them. I don't need you anymore. Yeah. Go away. So the code is actually Motherload.
Oh,
Motherlode all together, and it gets you $50,000. So
cool.
You can keep doing it over and over again until you have enough money. I just do it to take the load off of actually getting a job. Like, I do what I want. I don't have to go out and get a job now. I can go ahead and you know, level my person up the way I want.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Actually,
that was real
I
life.
Used a cheat code on Rock Band too. Just to unlock all the songs.
Nice. Huh.
So I wouldn't have to go unlock them.
I remember using cheat codes when I was younger.
Like on Wolfenstein. And
you know, like yes. on a lot of the types of games like Street Fighter and stuff like that. You know, if you up, up, down, down, left, left. You do those.
Going to God mode. Yeah.
Never get those to work. Yeah. Oh,
I remember using cheat codes that way.
Oh, I think I used one for Banjo-Kazooie. There was something for Banjo-Kazooie that it would give you unlimited something. I can't remember what it was, but I remember doing that for Banjo-Kazooie.
Very cool. So, yeah, that was a great question. Thanks for asking. So, all right, moving right along. Looks like we have a few iTunes reviews. Three from the UK. One from Dr. Mike Reedy, which, by the way, he's awesome. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen a retweet that I did. Dr. Mike Reedy is a professor, and he teaches video game programming. Oh, nice. And he has a free class that you can watch if you are interested in learning about video game programming. It's a really great introduction. In fact, I'm going to put a link in it in the show notes because I had a chance to watch at least the first session. And I thought it was awesome that he put that out there. So I just wanted to make mention of that. But
he gave a really nice review, iTunes review, and from the UK site. I was looking at the US sites, and we have three nice reviews there. But I was like, oh, I'm going to go see other places. So I went, and I was very surprised to see. We have quite a few from the UK. These are three of the ones in the last couple of weeks.
Would you like to read any of them?
I don't have them up anymore because iTunes is so hard to change the country from. You have to put in your password like 25 times to go from country to country. Oh, it's such a pain. Such a pain. So I just pulled their names. Dr. Mike Reddy, Richie B, and Drag88, all from the UK. From Australia, we had KelQ.
Hey.
And then we had three reviews from the States that I forgot to put the names in, and I don't have iTunes up. So if you guys have it. But yeah, thank you guys. Very, very nice reviews, and we really appreciate getting those reviews.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. So I think do we have anything else before we wrap up the show? Some game release dates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's a couple of games that are going to be coming out, one in particular that will be coming out in 2 days on August 10th, and it's Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And this is a co-op game, and you can download it from PSN on August 10th. Unfortunately, if you're on Xbox Live, you're going to have to wait till August 25th, which I thought that was interesting that you had to wait a little bit longer.
That is interesting.
But for those that are fans of the Scott Pilgrim comic book and the movie is set to be released here very shortly, you probably have been hearing about Scott Pilgrim, but it is a video game based on the same story, and you can play as Scott, you can play as Ramona, his girlfriend. I think there's up to 4-player co-op. So Stills and Kim. So yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Double Dragon. Scott Pilgrim comic book is very, the situations are kind of old school games, so like he'll get in a fight and he'll go, ooh, coins, and so it just makes sense that they made a video game out of it too. So that's going to be available here shortly, and I'm planning on downloading it.
Excellent.
So, and then the other game that's going to be released on August 18th that I thought, again, it seems like it's the days for downloadable are increasing, because this is Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and it's going to be the first ever downloadable co-op action adventure featuring Lara Croft.
That'll be cool. I always like the Lara Croft stuff.
Does everyone get to be her?
I don't know.
probably not. It's probably going to be like
your little science buddy.
Yeah. Or it'll be like, you know,
name? I can't remember.
Uncharted 2, the co-op in there, you're not all playing Nathan Drake,
right?
You know, you're some random dude
helping out. Well, yeah. I thought this was the other. So PSN gets Scott Pilgrim early. Well, Xbox gets Lara Croft early. So it will come out on August 18 for Xbox. It has not yet been announced for either the PS3 or the PC. So. the Xbox folks get to play this downloadable Lara Croft game, which looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it does look kind of cool.
Maybe I'll dust off my Xbox again and play some Lara Croft.
All right. I love that too.
Okay.
Well, I have something.
Do you?
So next week, not this coming week, the week after, I'm going to be up in Minneapolis and I'm going to be hanging out with the most popular girls on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
They have a podcast called The Most Popular Girls on the Internet. So I'm going to be hanging out with them. Might do a little recording with them. I'm not sure, but I'll definitely go and get their podcast because it's a geeky tech girl.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasts. Nice. And they're a lot of fun. I follow them on Twitter too, and really cool girls. And then everyone should listen to Bind on Equip. There's a little segment on there called In the Ambassadors of the Horde, and you might recognize one of the characters on there that hosts here do. It's been going on for about 4 weeks now, and we've got like 8 weeks left. So yeah, go check that out. And I do a little segment on it each week.
Oh, that's awesome. BindOnEquip.com, right?
Yeah, BindOnEquip.com and the Witch, Whim, and Tempest over there. And check it out because I think it's Australia's only WoW podcast.
Oh, that's
I'm not
cool.
sure. But yeah, awesome. And they do.
I'm sure somebody will correct us if we're wrong.
At least it's the best.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
At least in my opinion.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So let's see. Let's go ahead and close this episode up. But before we do, Stephanie, how can the lovely listeners and manly listeners get a hold of us if they would like to
That's right.
They send us their contact us?
Everyone can call us at, we do have a calling number. It's area code 623-252-4263. And we have the website, which is ladiesofleet.com. We have the email address, which is ladiesofleet@gmail.com. And then we all have our Twitter accounts. There is a Ladies of Leet Twitter account. There is one for Nicole, which is at Nicole Spag. There's one for Kim, which is at Randy's Molly, and one for myself, which is at XIAXIAN1.
And I would like to mention the Facebook page too. If you are on Facebook, we have over 500 likes now. So,
woo-hoo!
And I do put little things up there from now and then. You can find us at facebook.com/ladiesofleet. So if you want to get more updates through that means, you can do that as well. So,
nice.
All right. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us. And we will talk with you in 2 weeks, which I don't have any game picked out to announce right here, but I'm sure we'll have something awesome. I'm sure I'll probably play the Scott Pilgrim game. But we'll have something fun to talk about.
Yes.
So thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye. What do you guys want to talk about game wise? Do we want to pick a game right now? I didn't even.
What's coming out? That's
the hard part.
I didn't see what else has come out.
Nothing. Nothing wants to go against StarCraft right now.
Well, who can blame them? Yeah, that's crazy.
Hey, we could play. Madden NFL.
Oh, dear Lord.
No!
Talk about outside the comfort zone.
I think we should play that massage game.
There's one coming out for the iPhone / I was looking up. Two names just jumped out at me. One's called Secretary's Lover. But sadly, it's in Japanese.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, look it up. It's for real. And the other one is called Vampire Surgeon. And the whole
what?
Yeah, so weird. These two surgeons, they're in love, and they're both vampires, and they have the names you've ever heard, like Von Lichtenstein, and it's so bad.
Oh,
but they're
no.
They're they're dedicated to surgery, but at the same time, they just want to devour the person as close to this blood, and I'm...
is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.